Let's join the worship center at Life Church, where the service is already in progress.
If you're over 10, we're going to hang out in here today, and we're going to start a new series on following God and true discipleship. God is looking for true disciples. He's looking for people who are serious about following Him, serious about His Word, serious about learning more about Him. Because in the world that we live today, we have a lot of people who say that they love Jesus, but their actions don't line up with what they say. You know, it's real easy to say something, but it's a whole nother thing to do something. You know, it was real easy when we thought, well, we'll just move the school downstairs. We're growing. It was a whole nother thing to do it. We started Thursday, and we did it in 2 days, Thursday and Friday, and we completely rearranged everything. And to be honest, there are some corners of the building where stuff is still a hot mess, but we're going to work on it. But we can say all day long that we want to do something. We can say all day long that we want to serve God. We can say all day long that we want change in our life. We can say all day long that we love God. But it's another thing to line up our say with our do. God wants us to line up our say with our do. He doesn't want us to just say that we love God. He wants our actions. He wants what we do on this earth to line up with what we say. And we have many people in the body of Christ who are sayers, but they're not doers. They say, but they don't do. And God wants us to become doers of the Word, not just hearers only, because the Bible says that when we don't do and we just hear, we deceive our own selves. It is good to hear the Word. We need to hear the Word, but we need to do more than hear. We need to line our do up with our say and our do up with who we are. God wants us to be true disciples. He wants us to truly come after Him, not just say that we're going to go after Him. He wants us to actually line our life up and actually put things into practice to follow Him. I can say something all day long, but eventually I'm going to have to get up and do it, or you're not going to believe me anymore. If I told you I was going to cook dinner for you, you would expect that as soon as church was over, we'd be eating something. You'd expect to be having some kind of food set out before you. If I said, hey, I'm going to cook dinner for you. Now, what would you think of me if after I said that and church was over and you're just standing around and I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to get around to it eventually. And you're just sitting there and you're waiting. Well, she said she was going to cook dinner for me. Now, I meant lunch, but, you know, I mean, we could say dinner. And then actual dinner time rolled around. Well, you'd be going, okay, it's about time for food. That didn't happen at lunch. Now we're down to dinner, and here it is, and you hadn't cooked yet. You hadn't even went in the kitchen. You hadn't even drug a pot out. How are you going to cook something if you hadn't drug your mixer and your pot and the ingredients out? Eventually, you would say, you know what? She's not ever, I need to go through a drive-thru or something because I'm not getting any food from her today. We do the same thing with God. We say, yes, I love God. Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I serve God. And God's standing up there going, okay, well, let's line our life up. You say you love me. What are you doing to show that you love me? You say that you trust me. What are you doing to show that you trust me? You say that you're serving me. What are you doing to serve me? Are you really following me? Or does it just sound good? You know, sometimes we like to exaggerate things to make it sound good. Talk to any guy who's ever been fishing. And you'll know that many times we like to exaggerate to make things sound real good. You know, man, I caught it and it was this big. And let me tell you, it put up a fight. And, you know, if the truth be told, you got a minnow. But you done told it like you caught the whale, you know. We don't need to exaggerate and stretch things when it comes to the things of God. If we say that we love God, then what we do, how we live our life, the things that we do should line up with what we say. I want us to really think about who we're following. Because if we're going to be His disciple, if we're going to come and follow Him, then it's going to require that we get up and follow Him. If you say, you know, follow me back to the house, and then all of a sudden you look around and there's nobody behind you, have you ever been caravanning and you lost your caravan? You all in a row. I mean, we took off for church camp 1 year past Dallas, Texas. Took 2 15-passenger vans full of young children off to the great state of Texas for church camp for a week. And we were caravanning. And somehow or another, I got brave enough to drive the lead car on the thing. And here I am, I probably wasn't, 22 with 2 15-passenger vans full of children. I had another word in mind, but I edited myself. And here we go to Dallas, Texas. Well, past Dallas, Texas, about 8 hours. So, we're off on the road, and all of a sudden, I look back, and I'm the only van in the caravan. I'm missing my tribe, you know? And so here we go, getting on cell phones, because cell phones were there back then. Getting on cell phones, on my little flip phone, trying to find out where they are. Getting the map out, making sure I didn't make a wrong turn. Because, you know, you got to have your map person and then your driving person. And then I think we may even have walkie-talkies. I don't know. We were trying to be cool. But we finally got all back together. And what had happened was they had gotten behind another 15-passenger van and thought it was us. They got misdirected. They were following the wrong thing and they thought they were on course. They thought they were good to go. They thought they were heading to church camp for the water slide. But they had started following the wrong thing that looked like the right thing. It looked like the lead car. But it wasn't. I challenge us to make sure we're following the right thing. Because many things look good, but many things are not God. Many things look good and sound good and sound so holy and churchified and all that kind of stuff. But they aren't the Word of God. We need to make sure we're following the right 15-passenger van before we end up in somewhere down in Louisiana instead of Texas. God wants us to follow Him. Not what we think He looks like, but really who He is. Let's look at Matthew 16:24. Jesus said this to His disciples, "If anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself in his own interest, and take up his cross and follow me. Cleave to me steadfastly. Conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also." So Jesus is talking to His disciples, the 12 that He mentored. And He's saying, listen, if you want to be my disciple, if you really want to follow me, if you really want to do this thing right, first of all, you got to deny yourself. Oh, that's hard. Because we like what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. But he says, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to deny yourself, disregard and lose sight of yourself, forget yourself and your own interest. Why? Because when we're following Christ, we aren't always going to be led to do things that we feel comfortable doing. For example, sharing our faith with others. You may not feel comfortable having a conversation about your belief in God with others. But that's part of living to make God look good. That's part of following Christ. You may not be comfortable with spending time reading and researching and learning more about the Bible. Maybe reading isn't your thing. But the cost of being His disciple is putting aside what you think and what I think and what I feel and what you feel and doing the things that God has called us to do because He said to. Forget yourself. Forget your own interest. Take up your cross. What happens at the cross? Stuff dies. That's what happens at the cross. Stuff dies. So deny yourself. Take up your cross. What else happens at the cross? It's a place of suffering. And we don't like to talk about this part. We'd rather talk about, ooh, just make me feel warm and fuzzy. And then I'll go home like I've been cuddled in a snuggie. But there will be times where we suffer. And there'll be times where we go through difficult things. David wrote in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We will go through difficult times. It's not easy to put aside our own will and our own interest in the way that we want to do things. I have a way that I like things done. And if you've been around me long enough, you know that there's a particular way that I want things to happen and an expectation that I have. And you know, I kind of like it when things go my way, and I'm working on that. But I'm learning, and my husband would say that I could learn a little faster, but I'm learning to disregard and work on it not having to go my way. And being open to new ideas. I got an opportunity to work on that this week. And I didn't do so well. It doesn't always have to be the way that we want it done. What'd your mom always tell you? There's more than one way to skin a cat. I don't know why we had to skin cats. I don't know what the need was or who figured out how many ways there were to skin them. But there is more than one way. And our way isn't necessarily the best way. God says, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. We must come to Him. We must follow Him. We must cleave steadfastly to Him, conform wholly to His example in living, and if need be, in dying also. Jesus is looking for true disciples, people who will really do what He said, people who will really follow His example, and not just follow some idea of God that they've gotten in their own head. Many people have lots of ideas about God. If you talk to anybody, even here in the South, even where we buckle the Bible belt, you know, you talk to people about God and people have their own ideas. Some people think that we are all God. You know, we just got to actualize it. Or some people think that the earth is God and we're you know, to worship the one, be one with the earth and all that kind of stuff. Some people think that there is no God. Even in the town that we live in, some people have the belief that there is no God. Some people believe that God loves us so much that He would never and ever, 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 ever really let somebody have the consequences of hell for making wrong decisions. And that's a false perception of God. Because just like your children have consequences for their actions, we are God's children and there are consequences for our actions. Some people think that God is just mean and He's just sitting up there with a holy stick waiting to zap people. We need to find out who God really is. And the only way that we'll find out who God really is, not just our perception of Him, is spending time seeing what He did in His Word. Because the Bible says that God does not lie, He doesn't change, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, if we can study out in His Word, His principles for living, we can come to know really who God is. Not just our fictitious image of who we would like God to be because it fits our lifestyle. I encourage us to dig into what it really means to be a disciple in this series and what it really means to follow God and make sure we're behind the right 15-passenger van. Because we would hate to wake up one morning and realize that we had lost our tribe and that we had gotten so off course that God was way over here and we're way over there. But if we don't really come to know who God is through His Word and in the light of His Word, we will be swayed by all the different doctrines of man and all the different beliefs. And God could really never punish me. There could really never be any consequences for my bad behavior, or I don't even know. You know, we're all God. We just gotta love each other and then we'll all just be done when we're done and that's it. No, we need to read in His Word and find out who God really is. Who, not just who people say that He is. You know, Jesus asked Peter one time, "Who do men say that I am?" He was talking to His disciples again. And people had a lot of opinions. Some thought He was a prophet or a teacher or different, all these things. And then He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." We need to really know who God is. And to really be someone's disciple, you've got to know about them. Look at Matthew 7, 21 through 23. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say on that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name?' And then he will say to them openly and publicly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who act wickedly, disregarding my commands.'" God is looking for people who are truly following Him. Not who just say that they're following Him, who have a form of godliness. The Bible says that He's not looking for people with a form of godliness, denying the power. He's looking for people who will truly follow Him. Are we following the real Jesus? Look at Exodus chapter 32. You know, they had been freed from Egypt and they were on their way to the Promised Land. And Moses had gone up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. If you read the chapters before and try to give you a little context about what's going on here. Their fearless leader is up the mountain talking to God, getting the Ten Commandments. Okay? And so they're standing in Exodus, or they're in Exodus, and well, they're in the wilderness. They're making their journey in Exodus 32. And Moses is up the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. And it says in verse 1, when the people saw that Moses was delayed to come down from the mountain, they gathered together Aaron and said to him, up, make us God to go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. So Aaron replied, take the gold rings from your ears, your wives, your sons, your daughters, bring them to me. So, Moses is up the mountain talking to God. They don't know what's happened to him. They said he's been gone too long. First of all, the problem was they had been following a man. They didn't think they could do it without Moses. And they gathered Aaron and they said, make us a God. So they took all the earrings and the rings and all that stuff and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a molten calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw the molten calf, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down, for your people who you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They've turned quickly aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, if you look at the direct translation in verse 5 in Hebrew, and I wrote it down for you, it says, Aaron told them, tomorrow shall be a celebration to Yahweh. And that's what they called God. Tomorrow shall be a celebration to Yahweh. And so they had gotten confused. They had made this God, and they were looking at it, and Aaron said, tomorrow will be a feast to Yahweh. Well, that wasn't God. That was some gold calf. And if you keep reading that verse, that chapter on down, when Moses comes down and he's like, Aaron, what happened? Aaron was like, well, we just poured all this gold into this pot and poof, out a calf came. They were worshiping. They had misdirected their worship. They had gotten off track. And they were calling this molten calf God. They were calling him Yahweh. They were calling him God that had delivered them out of Egypt. If we are not careful, we will get off track and start looking at cows, not real cows, but you get the correlation here. I don't think any of us are going to go to a pasture after church and go, oh, we worship you, cow. But we start putting things before God. And we start putting people before God. And we start having misdirected worship to where we have our focus and our time and our energy and our attention on something other than the one true and living God. Are we following the real Jesus? Are we following the Jesus of the Bible? Or are we just following something that feels good? God wants us to follow the real Jesus. There was a pastor who was very well known way back in the 80s. And he was known for crusades and different things and being on TV. And he was very well known. And he got into trouble and ended up going to jail. And when a minister went and visited him, he said to him, you know, tell me what happened that you fell out of love with God. Tell me what happened that you got to the point to where you could commit these crimes and do these things and say all this. And he said, to tell you the truth, the preacher said, to tell you the truth, I loved God all the way through it. I just didn't fear him. And so for the next few minutes, I want us to look at what it truly means to fear God. Because we get it mixed up and we think we should be scared of Him and, you know, oh. But that's not what God wants. God doesn't want us to be scared of Him, but He does want us to have reverential fear for Him. Because I think if we truly respected and revered God, we would live a little differently. To fear, if you look at all the scripture references that use the word fear in reference to God, it means reverence, a feeling of attitude or deep respect tinged with awe, to treat with respect. And so I want to ask us, as we're getting ready to talk about discipleship and following God, are we really following the real Jesus? Are we following the Jesus of the Bible? Are we following His commands and the things that He says for us to do? Do we really respect Him? Do we really stand in awe of Him? Do we really reverence Him? John 14:15, if you really love Me, you will keep My commands. We all say that we love God. But do we follow His commands? Are we walking after Him? We can't follow someone unless we obey them. If you tell your kids to follow you, you expect them to be in line right behind you following you. And if you're in Walmart and they get off on the toy aisle and you're over here, you turn around and your kids are gone. When you find them, you're like, why didn't you stay with me? Why didn't you follow me? I told you to follow me. I told you to stay with me. But this shiny toy just looks so pretty, and I just wanted to go see what Elsa was doing. I know enough about Elsa to be dangerous. But I just wanted to go see this pretty shiny toy, and the child just had wandered off from you. We do the same thing with God. We do the same thing with God, where we say, you know, hey, I'm following God. And then we look up, and before we know it, we are off looking at Elsa, off looking at the pretty shiny toy, off looking at something else that God has not wanted us to be looking at when He said, follow Me. He didn't say, go off to the toy aisle. He didn't say, go and have a picnic. He said, follow Me. Follow Me. God wants us to follow Him. Proverbs 8:13 says, the reverent fear, respect, and worshipful awe of the Lord includes the hatred of evil, pride, arrogance, the evil way, and perverted and twisted speech, which He hates. So God wants us to fear and respect Him. And if we're going to respect God, if we're going to reverence Him, what it includes is to hate evil, not to be friends with it, to hate evil, to get away from evil, to get away from pride, not being puffed up saying, look at me, look at what I did. Man, aren't I awesome? And if you don't think I'm awesome, you just hang around me long enough and I will tell you how awesome I am. Have you known people like that? Arrogance. Thinking that you're better than somebody. The evil way. And perverted and twisted speech. God doesn't want us to pervert and twist His Word. He wants us to wholly follow His Word. He wants us to worship Him. He wants us to fear Him. And that fear isn't, oh, I'm scared of God. That fear is, I respect God. I am in awe of Him. We should be in awe of God. I mean, goodness, He created the entire world with His words. Proverbs 1:7. The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord. Look at how many times that respect and worship go together in these two verses. Both verses that we just read, it's reverent fear and worshipful fear. Well, our worship is important in this. God wants us to respectfully worship Him, to be in awe of Him. Respect of the Lord, worshipful reverence of God, is the beginning and principal choice part of knowledge. Its standing point and its essence. But fools despise skillful and godly wisdom and instruction and discipline. So, if we respect the Lord, if we have worshipful fear of Him, then the Bible says it's the principal part of knowledge. It's going to give us wisdom. It's going to give us understanding. And then it goes on to say, but a fool despises skillful and godly wisdom, instruction, and discipline. You know, it's not fun being disciplined. Not fun at all to be corrected and told that we have made a mistake. Why? Because it goes against ourselves. We want to think we are right. And so when we find out that we're not right, ooh, it just bothers us. It makes us curl our shoulders up. It makes us ball up our fist and be like, oh, I don't want to hear this right now. But when we're following after God, when we're becoming His disciple, we've got to be ready for instruction and discipline. We've got to be ready for course correction. We've got to learn to take discipline from God. Why? Because as we begin to truly follow Him, He will show us areas where we need to fine-tune things. He will show us areas where we need to do things differently, places where we've missed the mark and we got it wrong. And we have to be ready to receive that discipline. Don't you just wish that every time you disciplined your child, they would just be like, yes, I was wrong, I'm so sorry, and I will do better next time, and then they really did do better? Instead of, well, it's not my fault, it's her fault. If she wouldn't have hit me upside the head, I wouldn't have kicked her in the leg. And then I wouldn't have rolled around on the dirt, and then the pot wouldn't have gotten broke. That's how that happened. It's all her fault. Remember we talked about in Minding Our Mind how we need to learn to take responsibility for our own actions and line our life up with God and not be scared to be disciplined by God. Not to be scared to be shown, hey, we were wrong about that. When we're becoming a true disciple of God, we need to be ready for correction because He will bring it to us. Not places where, you know, hey, you went out and killed somebody. That was bad. But just things that aren't fully in line with the Word of God that God will start drawing our attention to. Proverbs 2, 4 through 6. If you seek wisdom as for silver and search for skillful godly wisdom as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord. Look, respect and worship goes together. Respect and worship goes together. Fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of our omniscient God. For the Lord gives skillful and godly wisdom from His mouth, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. So, we got to search out for wisdom and understanding. We've got to search the Scriptures for wisdom and understanding. If we're going to follow God, we need to know who we're following. And the only way that we're going to know who we're following is if we dig into the Word and find out what it says. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 through 14. All has been heard, and the end of the matter is. So he's summing it up. Fear God. Revere and worship Him. Look, reverence and worship goes together. Knowing that He is, and keep His commandments. For this is the whole of man, the full purpose of his creation, the object of God's providence, the root of character, the foundation of all happiness, the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun, and the whole duty for every man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it's good or whether it's evil. So the whole duty of man is to worship, respect, fear God, and keep His commands. He says it's the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions. This week, did you have some inharmonious circumstances? Worshiping and reverencing God and keeping His commands will adjust all of those. Why? Because many times that lifestyle adjusts us. Deuteronomy 10:12-13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of you but to reverently fear the Lord your God? That is, to walk in all of His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord with all your mind and heart, with your entire being, to keep the commands of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today for your good. So that's what God requires of us. If we are going to follow Him, if we are going to be His disciple, He requires that we respect Him. He requires that we worship Him. He requires that we walk in His way. He requires that we love Him. He requires that we serve Him with all of our heart and our mind and our entire being. He requires that we keep His commands, which He commands us. Proverbs 3:7. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord. Turn entirely away from evil. We don't need to think that we have everything figured out. We need to have our heart and our mind open to allow God to change it. Psalm 25:14, the secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear and worship and revere Him. And He will show them His covenant and reveal to him its deep inner meaning. So the secret of companionship with God come to those who fear, who reverence, who respect and worship Him. And then He will begin to show and reveal His covenant in the deep inner meanings. Have you ever talked to somebody before that you knew didn't respect you and didn't really want to hear what you had to say? The conversation was short, wasn't it? Why? Because we don't have time for that. If they don't want to hear what we say, we're just wasting oxygen. God wants us to want to hear what He has to say. He wants us to want to follow Him. And remember, what we've been talking about for almost a year now, the overarching theme of every single sermon, every single series that we've done for just about the past year has been, don't live out of obligation. Live because you want to live to make God look good. Don't try to make God look good out of obligation because I got to, or I'm supposed to, or it's supposed to be that way, or I have to. Live to make God look good because we desire to, because we're excited to, because we want to. Follow God, not out of obligation, but become His disciple because we are excited about a deeper relationship with Him. Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk and live in your truth, not someone else's truth, in your truth. Direct and unite my heart solely and reverently to fear and honor your name. So we need to ask God to show us His ways so that we can walk in His way, not our own way. And we can unite and direct our heart with His so that we can bring honor to His name. Psalm 34:9. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. Revere and worship Him. For there is no want to those who revere and worship Him with godly fear. So if we fear the Lord, if we worship and respect Him. The Bible says there's no want to those who fear and worship Him. Look at Genesis 22, 10 through 13. Abraham was told by God to take his son up on the mountain and sacrifice him to God. Now that would be a tough spot to be in. And he was about to do it. And when we pick up on the story, Abraham has the knife in his hand about to slay his son in verse 10. But the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he answered, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear and respect and revere God. Since you have not held back from me or begrudged giving me your son, your only son." Then Abraham looked up and glanced around, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering and a ascending sacrifice instead of his son. See, God had promised Abraham that he would make him the father of many nations. He had promised that his descendants would outnumber the sand. And if you read the life of Abraham, he had kind of gotten off track because for a while he thought he would try to have his son his own way. So he took his wife's handmaid and had a son with him. But that's not what God wanted. That wasn't the way God wanted it done. He had tried to make things happen his own way, and it got him into a big mess, and we're still paying for that mess today. Because that's where a lot of the conflict in the Middle East comes from these two lines of Abraham, these two descendants of Abraham that populated that area of the world. And we're still paying today for Abraham's one decision. Did you know that the one decision that you make to go your own way and do things your way instead of God's way can have consequences for generations to come? It's important that we follow God wholly, not try to make God fit in what we want. Abraham wanted that son so bad that he and his wife decided that he should take the wife's handmaid and have a baby with her, and then that was going to be the son. But that's not the way God wanted to do things. And today, we still have the conflict from that one decision that Abraham made. We still experience that conflict today. So Abraham had finally gotten a son. He had finally gotten his promise from the Lord. He had finally gotten, one descendant. And it was a son, so the lineage could continue. The heritage that God had told him that he would take up the sand of the sea could come forth from this one son. But God wanted to make sure that he wasn't going to worship and hold his son in such high regard that he wouldn't still follow the command of God. And so he said, "I want to make sure that you're really following me. So take your son and go sacrifice him." This was his promise. This was his lineage, his heritage. This was it. And they were already really old whenever they had this baby. They were bumping hundreds. Okay? How would you like to have a kid when you were 99? Mm-mm. And so God wanted to know, do you love me more than you love the promise? Do you love me more than you love the promise? And we kind of have that twisted up today. We get so caught up in the things that God can do for us rather than God Himself. Yes, God does things for us. Yes, He blesses us. Yes, He prospers us. But we don't need to get caught up in the things and the blessings and the prosperity. We need to get caught up in Him. Yes, God does bring all of our needs. He meets our needs. Yes, He does prosper us. Yes, He does bless us. Yes, He does all these things for us. But don't get caught up in the promise. Get caught up in the promise giver. Don't get caught up in the promise. Get caught up in the one who made it happen. Get caught up in God. Don't put anything above Him. Don't get so caught up in God's hand and what He can do for you that we forget to follow Him and seek His face. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, since these great promises are ours, let us clean ourselves up from everything that contaminates and defiles the body and spirit, and bring consecration and completeness in the reverential fear of God. God is calling us to follow Him, and it's going to require to clean ourselves up. It's going to require that we make some changes. It's going to require that we make some movement. Because these great promises are ours, let's get cleaned up and come into completeness in the reverential respect and fear of God. I encourage you this week, as we're getting ready to start talking about discipleship, to ask yourself, have I been following the wrong 15-passenger van? Have I gotten away from the tribe that God has called me to live? Have I gotten off track or off course? Have I made a fake version of God in my life so I can be comfortable? Am I following the real Jesus? Or am I over here following something that looks like Jesus? Who am I following? Am I on course with God? God wants us to follow Him. He wants us to come after Him. Jesus told him, "If come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me. If you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and cleave to me, conform to me wholly in my example, and if need be, in dying also. Follow me. Be my disciple. Come after me." That's God's call to us today, to follow Him. Let's stand. God, thank You for the opportunity to worship.
Thank you for joining us today. We would love to hear from you. You can write to us at Post Office Box 1004. That's P.O. Box 1004, Monticello, Arkansas 71657. Or you can email us at lci.monticello@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. You can also check out our website. It's www.getlife.co. That's www.getlife.co. There you can find Pastor Kelly and Pastor Josh's sermon notes, and you can see what's going on all through the week at Life Church. We would love to have you in one of our services with us. Join us Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. for a worship service. Pastor Kelly ministers, and it's a great time in the presence of God. Or you can join us for Digging Deep on Tuesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Pastor Josh digs into the Word of God, connecting the Old Testament with the New Testament and giving us a fresh biblical perspective from God's point of view. We hope that you have a great week this week. Remember, go live to make God look good. God bless you till we're with you again.